Wings of Love bird shows are educational and fun for the entire family. Wings of Love bird show birds answer questions, spell words, ride bicycles, play basketball, roller skate, and more. Plus, you'll experience Swoop, the Eurasian eagle owl, swooping over the audience. Visit wingsofloveinc.org. That's wingsofloveinc.org for more information about these exciting shows. Find out how you can have Wings of Love at your event and the show schedules. Welcome to Bird Talk Live Online. Please enjoy our live Bird Talk radio show now in progress.
Come on and listen. We got suggestions on the Bird Talk radio. If your bird's misbehaving, we'll help you save it on the Bird Talk radio. If your bird's getting rowdy, just call and say howdy on the Bird Talk radio. We are birds of a feather, we'll stick together on the Bird Talk radio.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
All right. I had to run outside and I forgot something and just remembered it when I got on air. And that's the way
okay.
it goes. That's the way it goes often. It's a good thing I run this radio station. Nobody can fire me.
Heard that before.
Right. So, where can we start?
Where would you like to start? Pearl here was, she was abused for 15 years, and she really not did. She never got to experience holidays the way people get to. You know, we all get together with our family and our friends, and we get a great big meal together, and we leave all the animals behind, and we just, like, sit around and stuff our faces and drink. And meanwhile, the birds are just kind of, like, sitting at home going, wait a second, what happened to the mom and the dad and the kids and, you know, why aren't we all together? And even if the family comes over to the house, you know, a lot of times what people do is they'll lock the parents up in cages. And they don't get to be a part of the whole excitement because they don't want them in the way. And, you know, someone might be afraid of them or whatever the case may be. And Pearl, in, you know, 2012, I rescued her after 15 years. And I'd written, you know, 7 books out of her perspective. And, you know, I thought, you know, for the first time in her life, it's time that she gets to be a part of the holidays. And just as we were leaving to go off to Pacific Palisades Estate and celebrate Thanksgiving at Uncle John's house, you know, in the famous Willett style with lots of money and crystal and china and all these fancy things in life, I said, you know what, why not bring the bird? And my husband at the time says, oh, no way, no how, she can't come. I mean, she's going to spoil it. You know, this is all Thanksgiving. It's all about family. It's all about getting together with all these rich, you know, friends of ours and stuff. And I'm like, no, you know what? It's about her, too. You know, she's now part of the family, so she's coming. And so I dressed her up in her nice little winter jacket, and I brought her up to Pacific Palisades and States. And wouldn't you know it, she stole the show. You know, she was just the hit. And the guests just couldn't get enough of her. And, you know, Aunt Pat, turned out she was not a, you know, a bird person, as we call it, but everybody else was. And I thought, you know what, this is really exciting. This is something to squawk about. And so I decided to write about it. So I wrote about her life and her through her perspective and wrote a season to squawk about. And it became a series. I ended up writing about 6 books about the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas in 2012. And she got to meet some pretty famous people. In volume 1, she actually met Amazon Eve, who is the Guinness Book of the World's tallest model, in case you haven't heard about her.
So who is
that
this?
Was pretty exciting to start things off. Amazon Eve, she is 6'8". She is the Guinness Book of Records tallest model. And she came to our house, you know, shortly after Pearl crashed the Willett annual Thanksgiving at Pacific Palisades Estates, and she showed up in all her Hollywood glory, and she was talking about how great she is and how famous she is and how beautiful she is and what a world traveler she is And I thought, well, that is fabulous. That is really exciting, Amazon Eve. I says, you know what we need? You know, we need a spokesmodel. And I'm like, and you're tall, you're beautiful, you got the whole thing going on. Why don't you be a spokesmodel for Pink Pearl, right? And you know what her response was?
What?
Well, at first she asked to buy the manuscript.
I turned the volume down on my mic while you're talking, so there isn't too much background noise. Maximus is over here. He's making some noise up there on his condo. I don't want to embarrass him.
Oh, yeah?
It's okay, Max. No, go ahead.
So anyhow, Amazon Eve, Pearl got to meet her, and I asked her to be a spokesmodel and for Pink Pearl and for all Moluccan cockatoos, all Indonesian cockatoos, that is. And she said no. And then she asked to buy the manuscript, and I said no. So it was a little ridiculous. But I asked her why. I asked her why she didn't want to be a spokesmodel. And she told me, you know, several weeks later after Christmas that famous people don't like to share the spotlight with children or with animals. You know why?
No, I don't. And this is
because
this is great. And something that you're touching on is something I see a lot of bird people. Well, a lot of bird people occasionally, you know, talking about online about involving the birds in more activities, much like we do with our dogs.
Right.
I don't think people walk their cats that much, but dogs and maybe other pets, and in general, I'm enjoying that sentiment that you wanted to bring the bird for the holidays. And, you know,
there's
so much fun and loving. Why not? Why not include your
bird? I know.
You know, when you're going to socialize with other people.
It's very true. And the thing about it, Michael, is like these days, you know, basically what it boiled down to is she didn't want to share the spotlight with Pink Pearl because she knows that Pearl, you know, she steals the show. You know, that's what she's all about. And from what I've learned about Pearl, you know, in through the holidays and stuff, is that she takes all the attention away off of all the materialistic garbage that they got floating around. They're all the little, you know, iPhones and the iPods and all the little, you know, electronic gadgets that kids are collecting these days. She takes attention off of that and back to reality. And that's something that, you know, we're kind of losing in this day and time. And especially like in the Bay Area where I've been spending the last year now, you know, they don't even have, you know, art so much anymore. You know, they focus their attention away from art and onto electronics and technology. And, you know, the really, I don't know how to put it, the baffling thing about it, about being back in the Bay Area, is I see the impact that technology is having on these people. And they're all just becoming a bunch of drones. They're lacking any kind of empathy for one another. You know, they seem soulless. I've met a lot of, you know, men and women that, you know, they collect clothes or they collect gadgets or they collect cars or something that's materialistic and doesn't have any depth perception because, you know, they're not allowed to express their feelings. You know, I mean, it's just all about, you know, the fancy gadgets in the world. And yet they forgot about who's inside. And when you take a big, beautiful animal like Pink Pearl, who is just so full of feelings and cares about nothing else other than feelings, you shouldn't care about clothes and gadgets and cars and all the materialism that you get at the holidays. She cares about love. You know, she cares about having, you know, food on the table and a roof over her head. You know, and this is what the reality of life is, you know, and it's not just about during the holiday. You know, it's about all year round. I mean, this is what you should be celebrating. You know what I mean? And
yes,
that's
a lot
what
of life.
Talk about.
Yeah, and birds are not pre-programmed, right?
No, exactly. And, you know, in 2012, after I rescued Pink Pearl, I built an indoor-outdoor aviary, and people started choosing me to rescue their parrots from all over the country. And I was just blown away, Mike. You know, I mean, it was a childhood dream come true to just be surrounded by so much love. And, you know, since I was a little girl, I never believed in keeping any animal in cages. And so I took in all these birds, and I let them fly around my house. And sure, it got a little messy and high maintenance. Sure, it did, you know. Right. But so are two-year-olds, you know. My mom loved babies. But, you know, I love parrots. And so these parrots, they were flying around, and they were all different subspecies, all different sizes. You know, you get the crazy kayaks, how colorful they are. And you got the peonies, and you've got, you know, cockatiels and lovebirds. And all these various birds from all over the country, they're all coming together right around the holiday season, right after Halloween 2012. And all of a sudden, you know, these birds that, you know, two kayaks, Fred and Nettle, you know, they were living in a pet store for 8.5 years in a cage. Never got to sense what real freedom was all about. They were living in a pet store. You know, and I used to volunteer there because I was disabled at the time and, you know, I had nothing to do. And I thought, well, you know what, why not give for it? You know, why not give back to the community? Why not help out the pet store? They're struggling, you know, that they're understaffed. And the staff is all caring about all these purebred cats and dogs for all these fancy people. But the birds were like the last to be getting attention. And I thought that's wrong. And so I'd go there and I'd make sure that they had food and water. And, you know, once in a while I'd leave a note for the owner. I go, you know what? Maybe it's time for them to come to a real home. You know, if you ever decide to get them to a real home, you know, I would like to be on that list. And, you know, it came as a surprise to me, but, you know, Halloween 2012, that pet store, it was forced to close because the rent was being raised for probably another Apple store, you know what I mean? And right. They had to close doors. And I got that phone call. I got to rescue Fred and Ethel. You know, 8.5 years old, never got to witness freedom. And I took them home and I removed the padlock off their cage, took them out, and they got to fly around.
Set them
like,
free.
Wow. Wow. We're free. We're free. We're protected. You know, we're in
a
home.
You're like a little kid.
They're like a little kid. Yeah.
You're like a little kid.
You know what? I am like a little kid. You are.
Well, you have that heart. You have that little kid heart.
I do. You know, and My big sister, she's always telling me, she goes, you know, you got to be careful. You know, she goes, people, they wonder why you're always laughing all the time. And what is wrong with her? Why is she always smiling? Why is she always laughing? And I'm like, well, a heck of a lot better than crying all the time, you know. And, you know, I don't want to bring people down, honestly, Mike.
It's no wonder the birds love you so much. Because they're like little kids, you know, like five-year-olds.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are. And you know, it's funny. You know, my boyfriend, a few days ago, you know, it's kind of a new relationship, you know, Mike. We've only been dating for a few months now, and I just love him. And Pink Pearl and Tanzania and Quetzal and Buddy, they're just crazy about this guy. And I'm like, wow, you know, he's not really my type, but, you know, yeah, you should give it a shot. They're like, yeah, he's the guy. I'm like, really? And they go, yeah, you got to go out with him. I'm like, okay, well, let's try it out. So we were dating, and everything's going really great. He makes me smile, makes me laugh, and he just caters to me like I'm some kind of a goddess. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. He's nice. But, you know, he made this comment, you know, we made a comment about kissing and stuff. And I go, I don't like kissing like all the time. And anyhow, he got really hurt. And so he was moping around all day. And I didn't pick up on it because I was like busy just cleaning up this place and helping him out. But Pearl, she picked up on it big time. And she noticed that he wasn't really, you know, into his game. He wasn't really feeling real happy that day. And so she kept like chasing after me around his house and biting at my ankles. And then she'd go into his room,
no
and
kidding.
She's like, you know, oh, she
so she was trying to get your attention because she noticed he was down.
Yeah, she noticed
That's
he
cool.
was down. I didn't notice it. I was too busy just trying to clean up his house, make it look nice, just trying to, like, you know, maybe this will cheer him up kind of thing. And meanwhile, he's being all mopey, and Pearl's, like, biting at me. Literally, like, you know, I'd be running around the house, vacuuming and stuff. She'd come running after me and bite at my ankles. I'm like, get away from me, you know? And then she'd go flying into his room. She'd be snuggling up against him and flirting with him. And she'd go back to me and bite my hand. I'm like, why are you attacking me, bird? And I just didn't get it. And then later on that evening, I had to leave to go back to my own place. And I mentioned, hey, what's wrong? He goes, yeah, you said you don't like kissing. I go, well, not all the time. And he goes, I kind of took it as you never wanted to kiss again. I'm like, what? Who never wants to kiss again? What a crazy thing is that? But, you know, it was all misunderstanding, and Pearl picked up on it. You know, it's like, you know, these parrots,
about what you're telling me before we came on air about how Pearl told you what guys were the wrong guys. Yeah. Yeah,
oh my goodness, good. Michael! You know, I'm not a woman that should be on the whole dating scene thing. It just doesn't work out for me. I'm kind of like those women with this like the Barbie doll type, shall we just say? Let's just say I just don't age, and I as I get older, I still keep this 18-year-old figure, and all the women they're all hanging up the phone right now. We don't want to hear this interview. All the men are picking up. What? You've got an 18-year-old figure? Well, you know. How to take care of myself.
She does have a nice, maybe I shouldn't say this, my wife might be listening. If you go online,
carefully.
You can see for yourself, listening audience. Yeah.
Well, let's just say, you know, I was a gymnast when I was younger, and I've kept my girlish figure, and I sport some pretty fashionable clothes, you know, from Southern California style, Orange County area, and long story short, you know, for the first time in years, I'm single, and so I was like hitting the dating scene, just trying to find a really nice man to compliment me. Because, you know, Michael, I mean, I've got my rescued parrots, and my mission in life is to keep going forward, and I would like to help other parrot rescues, nonprofit organizations. Pink Pearl's Parrot Rescue is number one on my list, and then, you know, the B2L House that was in Sunnyvale, and you know, I'd like to help her out as well. And you know, I don't mind being noticed out there by the general public, by the men. Sometimes it's a little intimidating because they see me as a little bit more than just a little attractive. It's just dangerous. So anyhow, after meeting many, many, many men, most of them had not the right intentions. And finally, I just said, you know what, Pearl, you pick them out. And so I met, you know, a couple guys, and they would like come on me, and they pretend to be all nice, and they're going to keep their hands to themselves. I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, bam, Pearl's just right at their neck. She's going right for the jugular. And I'm like, Bird, that is not cool. Don't be doing that. And they're running out of the house screaming. I mean, some of these guys are pretty big.
I know about some of that. I mean, not from chasing women, but yeah. I've had a few birds bite me, so. Or actually,
yeah.
I was just thinking of this. One of my earlier bird taming ventures, when I was trying to get into doing some bird behavior training work, and I went to help this lady with her bird and in the house. And first thing she said when I walked, I talked to her on the phone and told her I could help her with her bird's behavior, and she said, well, I don't believe you can. I said, oh, I can, I guarantee you. And I was confident. And as soon as I got to the house, she said, I'm warning you, if you open the cage, she's going to attack you. I'm like, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
So I open the door, the bird climbs out to the top of the cage and jumps off the cage onto my head and bit me on the forehead. So, Liz, what what she's talking about here is reality, and what we were kind of carrying on about was that she's explaining how her birds react to some of her potential boyfriends and how sensitive they are to people, how they can sense maybe goodness in people and maybe bad intentions in people, just like all animals are, you know, fairly sensitive to, you know, nervousness in humans or fear and that kind of thing. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, and you know, Mike, one of the parrots in particular, Fred and Ethel, I mentioned that they were living in a pet store for 8.5 years, and they never got out of their cage unless I went to the store, which I did, you know, at least once a week, sometimes 2-3 times. And I'd have to let them out through the food door because they had padlocks on the cages, and they lost the keys, and it was just a mess. But I'd go in there and I'd make sure that they got some time outside the cage. But they were really, you know, generally speaking, they were pretty threatened by the public. You know, I mean, 8.5 years, you know, in this pet store, people like coming in and out, strangers, kids, you know, people that don't know how to approach parrots. You know, it kind of made them very skittish. Extremely skittish, kind of like a woman that hasn't been dating for a long time, and all of a sudden she's having to date all these different men. It makes you a little bit skittish. You know, it's like you cannot just trust everybody. And so anyhow, Fred and Ethel, the Kikes, they didn't trust everybody. They trusted me, of course. And then when they finally got their freedom, when they finally got to come home with me and I let them outside their cage, all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know what? This is our home. This is our home, not inside the cage. They would go in at nighttime, of course. But I left that cage door open all the time. And anyhow, so for the first several months, you know, when people would come over, Fred, you know, the male, he was very protective of his environment, meaning our home. And so, yeah, he would jump on people's heads when they'd come in. And, you know, Amazon Eve, she brought her boyfriend over, and she's 6'8", and her boyfriend was 6'6", or something like that. And a big African-American guy, you know, pretty strong, and you'd think he'd be confident, be able to handle himself, and in a very gentle spirit. But Fred didn't think so. Fred didn't care who he was. And Fred jumped on his head, and he was just ripping out his ears and stuff. And Amazon, he's like, oh, get that bird off my boyfriend's head. No, it was quite the sight. But, you know, Fred's like, what are you doing in my home? This is my home. You leave her alone. That's my mommy. Get away from her. And I'm like, wait a second. And then, you know, anyhow, I had to give Fred some jail time for a little bit there while he settled his nerves. And poor little Ethel and him, they had a little discussion, and they're like, oh, that's not so cool. Now we have to go back to prison. After all these years, we're back in prison again. I just kind of whispered to them that I said, just chill out for a little bit. Don't worry, I'll get you out. And within maybe 45 minutes or an hour, I turned to my guests and I'm like, you know, come on now, let's be fair. You know, they were raised in prison for 8.5 years. Of course, they're not going to understand people coming into the home, taking over the place. I mean, but hey, let's give them a chance, shall we? Let's say if they can come out now and maybe they can be a little bit more hospitable, shall we say. And they were, you know, they got their prison time. They were in there. They learned their lesson. And when they got out the second time, they were still a little bit cautious, still not really happy about the fact that there are these people in their new home. And so what I did was I took a red cloth napkin and I gave it to Amazon's boyfriend. And I said, you know what? If Fred goes to attack you, just kind of play, you know, Toro with him, you know, the bullfighting. Just hold this red napkin, just Toro, and just kind of like play with him a little bit. And just let him know that, you know what, you're not afraid of him. You know, you're not. You're not going to go cowering in fear and he's the boss. You just kind of like let him know. But, you know, and honestly, you know, the same thing applies to Pink Squirrel. When she was attacking my heels because my boyfriend's feelings were hurt, I grabbed a white towel. And the reason why I did that is because, you know, for 15 years, she was abused, she was neglected, and one of her biggest fears, of course, was towels, because people that don't know how to take care of parrots, a lot of times they'll use towels to throw them over their heads, to put them in cages, or they wrap them up in a towel to trim their nails or trim their wings. And, you know, to each their own. I don't believe in doing that. I found through my personal experience that any time you're using a towel to train a parrot, you know, keep it from seeing what's going on, whatever, they're going to learn a fear of the towel. So in any case, that's just part of my own personal experience. But yeah, the season of Squawk About, I mean, these parrots, you know, for the first time ever, you know, all these birds that came into my home that finally get to be free. I'm like, this is what the holidays is all about. And they got to fly around. They got to have as many treats as they wanted, as much fruit as they wanted, as much whipped cream as they wanted. They could have cheese. They could have nuts, pistachios, cashews. And it was just amazing. You know, it's the way the holidays should be. You know, just like go in there and just stuff yourself, right? And worry about it later. Right. In a parrot's world, just fly it off later.
I hear you. And tell us a little more about the book, the inspiration. And I've seen some of the pages and the artwork. And I remember the last time you were on the show that you mentioned that you had some local artists that contributed to the book and that kind of thing.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much for mentioning that. I've been an artist since I was 6 years old. It's always my aspiration to be an accomplished artist. And one of my big things is I've always been visiting art galleries. And several years ago, let's see, when was that? About 3-4 years ago, I went to Coast Galleries in Newport Beach. And I got to meet Todd White, who is the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants. And I ended up meeting him about 3 times after that. And, you know, I bought his book for $150, not because I liked his paintings, but I liked what he had to say in his book. And in his book, he was writing about how he was just this nobody in Orange County, and he was going into the coffee shops, and he was putting full-color pictures of his books in the magazines, hoping that somebody would pick him up, and they'd give him credit for being a real artist, you know? And finally, he got picked up by Hollywood and then by Nickelodeon, and they paid him lots of money to paint, you know, a sponge with an attitude and arms, legs, and a quirky sense of humor, and now he's famous. And so Tanzania, my cynical parrot, she got to meet him, and that's in volume 2 of my first trilogy. And then Pink Pearl, she got to meet him as well. And guess who stole the spotlight in that show? The bird.
Yeah.
In any case. So anyhow, Todd White, he's a big advocate of the artist, and I am as well. And Daisy Timonen, she's my illustrator. And I met her 4 years ago when I was first writing my very first book, and I met her on Facebook, and I said, you know what, you're a very talented artist. I said, I'd like for you to be my illustrator. And she messaged me, and she kind of speaks broken English. She speaks Tagalog because she lives in Malaysia, and she speaks, you know, she lives in the Philippines growing up. But long story short, she says, I'm not an artist. I go, what do you mean you're not an artist? She goes, you know, I use my phone, and I take these pictures that I got online, I take your paintings and then I edit them to include pictures of you and the birds and me. And she goes, that's not real art. And I says, it is to me. You know, real art is something that you find online, whatever it is. People call it graphic art. But, you know, you can find real art in whatever facility that you want. You can find art just in the sunset. Take a picture of it. Change that picture a little bit. Now it's your picture, you know. Sign your name on it. Sell copies of it. That's all over the Bay Area. But, you know, my big thing in my series as an artist, I like to include other people. And so, you know, I find poets in India and in Africa. And these are places where, you know, it's not that easy to be published. You know, me, I went the old-fashioned route. I found a publisher in Morgan Hill, Andy Baldwin, president of Bookstand Publishing. And I paid him good money to publish my series with full-color illustrations, so that people can enjoy the beautiful colors of my paintings and all these other pictures and all the other contributing artists, you know, their paintings, the parrots, you know. But in any case, there's many poets that they contribute poems. And when I find that their poems actually go in line very well with what I'm writing about, I'm like, ask their permission. Hey, you know, would you mind if I publish their poem? And they're like, holy crap, of course, I'd love it for you to publish my poem because, you know, number one, it costs a lot of money to be published these days. And secondly, you know, if you're living in Africa or in India or those places where you're not going to be published, and if you are published, Mike, you cannot buy their books.
Why not?
Why, you ask? Because yeah. Amazon.com does not sell books in India and in Africa. You know why?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Because if you don't educate the people, that's how you control them. And that's what the definition of communism is. And that's basically, you know, I learned that firsthand living in Budapest for 8.5 months. But, yeah, you keep those people stupid, you keep them illiterate, and that's how you control them. And you know, suffice to say, you know, I'm finding a lot of people spending more and more time on Facebook, and I'm finding that Facebook has become more and more and more commercialized. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, you know, it's being sold to these people that got lots of money. They can make up these really quirky little ads about booze or about cigarettes or about vaping or whatever. And they're selling it on Facebook. And people are sharing these photos and videos and stuff like that, not even realizing that these are just paid advertising. And that's what Facebook has become. You know, initially
know
it was about
Facebook grosses something like $9 million a day.
Yeah.
Like
and I'll tell you something
phenomenal.
Else, Mike. It's huge, and it's really, you know, I've been spending a lot of time in the Bay Area for the past year, and what is going on now with, you know, because Facebook is located right there, along with Google and along with Microsoft, is that the housing crisis has escalated beyond control, and it costs so much to rent an apartment there that, you know, most people are getting chased out unless you're involved with technology. If you're not involved with technology, don't even bother going there. That's what my dad said. You know, I called him a couple of years ago. I said, Dad, my relationship's not working out. I need to come home. He goes, you can't come home. You don't know anything about technology. I go, what do you mean I don't know anything about technology? I'm an artist. Surely someone's going to love me for that. And they go, not around here. It's not. They're not. You know, and I came back and I'm looking around and I'm going to these art and wine festivals. And you know what? You know what, Mike?
What?
He's right. He's right.
Both I have to turn my mic back area. Up when I want to talk because I keep turning it down to keep the background noise down. But I think we're going to be okay here.
Okay. Yeah. But
I'm typing
anyhow,
stuff on Facebook while you're talking too.
Okay. That's cool. But yeah, anyhow, art is on the decline in the Bay Area. Technology is on the uprise. And because of this, the emotions are being taken away from the children. Children are not allowed to express themselves. They're not allowed to be creative because their parents are urging them to hurry up, get an education so you can keep up with all this technology and be able to afford to live in that area. I mean, it's a serious crisis. You know? And because of that, you know, because of that demand, you know, people are not rescuing parrots in the Bay Area. They're not even buying them for the most part because they don't have time for them, number one. You know, they're smart enough to know that if you get a parrot, you know, a parrot is going to probably outlive you if you get a bigger parrot. If it's a smaller parrot, you know, or any size parrot, they need attention. You know, and they have learned that, you know.
50 to 80 years of attention.
Right, you know. And in the Bay Area, you know, if you have a parrot, you've got to put it in a cage because you're off to school. You're off to make something, you know, have to be with, you know, work on the Facebook team or work on Google or whatever. You're not at home. You know, you're not spending quality time with your parrot. But I had the pleasure of working with one woman in Sunnyvale. Her name was Frederica. And about 10 years ago, she was chosen to rescue a cockatiel. And she is a really, really great lady. Unfortunately, you know, she's from Germany, and she had to leave her family, her sister and her mother and father, in order to come here to the Bay Area because her husband owned a software company. But because of that, you know, because she was, you know, German-speaking, so was her husband, she didn't have a lot of friends here. And, of course, she had no family here. And so she was chosen to adopt a cockatiel. And so she bonded with it. And then people started choosing her to adopt their cockatiels and then pigeons and then doves and then some other parrots. And Michael, you know what? You know what she ended up doing?
What's that?
She ended up rescuing over 200 birds.
Whoa. 200?
Yeah.
Wow.
Over 200. She had over 140 cockatiels. And, you know, she set up a nonprofit organization. She was trying to get people to contribute, of course, you know, she doesn't have time to work on a website. Her husband's too busy trying to make money through his software company. He didn't have time to work on the website. They're running all this inside their home in Sunnydale. And mind you, you know, the majority of the over 200.
Wow.
200. And I would say about.
Sounds like Donna and Neil, 9/11 Prayer Alert. They run a lost and found parrot organization. They don't run a rescue full time, but they did rescue over 300 parrots after Katrina.
Yeah.
When I was talking to them on air, they said at one point they had over 300 birds in their home.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that, Michael, is that, you know, it was the same situation when I started rescuing parrots. You know, I rescued Pearl, and then I was chosen to rescue many other parrots. And, you know, unless you're in the type of environment where you got double-pane windows and you never have to open up your doors and you don't have close neighbors, I'll tell you, people, neighbors, hater neighbors in particular, that don't like jets.
Are you going to go there?
I'm not going to go there too much.
I know it wasn't funny, but
it wasn't funny.
Are you going back in history?
Yeah. No, I try, you know, I try not to touch about that too much in a season of Squawk About because it's all about happy times and actually, you know, back in 2012, it was all good. Everything
listening audience,
good.
I'll tell you, just without mentioning names, that this lady had a real bad time with one of her neighbors because she was rescuing some birds and keeping them in her home.
Yeah.
And the neighbor, you know, was, you know, a J-E-R-K big time.
Yeah.
And didn't he even, like, come in your yard and squirt your own mm-hmm. water hose through your patio window one time right. yelling about your bird making noise or something.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, we don't want to go back that far.
No,
ruin the happiness.
It's really, yeah. No, it's really okay, Michael, because, you know, my whole, the whole
psycho
thing
neighbor.
About me and without, yeah, psycho neighbors, but my whole premise is because I am an artist, I think outside the box, and there's a lot of artists there that they want to be noticed, and it's like, I get them noticed. If they want to come forward and they want to show their support for my parrot rescues and what I'm passionate about, I will help promote them on the covers of my series because, you know, Season to Squawk About, it's not just one book. It's going to be about like 5 or 6 books, and that means several covers.
Wings of Love bird shows are educational and fun for the entire family. Wings of Love bird show birds answer questions, spell words, ride bicycles, play basketball, roller skate, and more. Plus, you'll experience Swoop, the Eurasian eagle owl, swooping over the audience. Visit wingsofloveinc.org. That's wingsofloveinc.org for more information about these exciting shows. Find out how you can have Wings of Love at your event and the show schedules. Welcome to Bird Talk Live Online. Please enjoy our live Bird Talk radio show, now in progress.
I'm your host, Mike Kiger. Over 30 years ago, I worked in a major franchise pet store as a bird salesman, where I learned some basic bird behavior training and grooming. There were birds in the store that could not be sold as they were too vicious or afraid of people. They often bit people that tried to handle them. I still remember thinking that it would have been so great if people could have enjoyed those birds instead of struggling with them. Since then, I've helped some friends and neighbors with their birds along the way in my life. About 7 years ago, some friends that have seen me work with birds encouraged me to develop my bird experience with exotic birds into a business. KC Bird Whisper International are dedicated to the enjoyment of pet birds and promotion of related products, services, and events. I hope you enjoy KC Bird Whisper International Productions and support our efforts to provide rich, informative media to the avian public and people thinking about getting a bird. Please visit www.birdtalkradio.com again soon and enjoy our internet radio broadcast of Bird Talk Live Online and our podcast on podbean.com. I'm your host, Mike Kiger. Thank you for tuning in today.
she ended up rescuing over 200 birds.
Whoa. 200?
Yeah.
Wow.
Over 200. She had over 140 cockatiels, and, you know, she set up a nonprofit organization. She was trying to get people to contribute, of course. You know, she doesn't have time to work on a website. Her husband's too busy trying to make money through his software company. He didn't have time to work on the website. They're running all this inside their home in Sunnydale. And mind you, you know, the majority of the cockatiels, over 200, over 200. And I would say about...
Sounds like Donna and Neil, 9/11 Parrot Alert. They run a lost and found parrot organization. They don't run a rescue full time, but they did rescue over 300 parrots after Katrina. Yeah. When I was talking to them on air, they said at one point they had over 300 birds in their home.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about that, Michael, is that, you know, it was the same situation when I started rescuing parrots. You know, I rescued Pearl, and then I was chosen to rescue many other parrots. And, you know, unless you're in the type of environment where you got double-pane windows and you never have to open up your doors and you don't have close neighbors, I'll tell you, people, neighbors, hater neighbors in particular, that don't like jets.
Are you going to go there?
I'm not going to go to too much.
I know it wasn't funny, but are you going back in history?
Yeah. No, I try, you know, I try not to touch about that too much in a season of Squawk About, because it's all about happy times, and actually,
right,
you know, back
right,
in 2012, it was all good. Everything
listening audience,
good.
I'll tell you, just without mentioning names, that this lady had a real bad time with one of her neighbors because she was rescuing some birds and keeping them in her home, and the neighbor, you know, was, you know, a J-E-R-K, big time.
Yeah.
And didn't he even, like, come in your yard and squirt your own water hose through your patio window one time yelling about your bird making noise or something?
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, okay,
well,
we don't want to go back that far.
Happiness. No, it's really okay, Michael, because, you know, the whole thing about me and without, psycho neighbors, but my whole premise is because I am an artist, I think outside the box, and there's a lot of artists there that they want to be noticed. And it's like, I get them noticed. If they want to come forward and they want to show their support for my parrot rescues and what I'm passionate about, I will help promote them on the covers of my series, because, you know, a season to Squawk About, it's not just one book. It's going to be about like five or six books. And that means several covers.